All right, tonight's shiur is on this week's parsha. As we all know, it's Parsha's Lech Lecha, and the topic of the shiur is Avraham and faith. We're going to take up the topic of Emunah, as brought down in the Torah, which is an important idea. And we pick it up from Bereishis, Perek Tesvav, and we're going to go through a couple psukim. It's a little bit of a separate point, and there's a couple psukim here. I think there's three main points in the shiur, so I'm going to try to break it up so it's not confusing, and we'll go through each idea and come out with a nice, hopefully a nice point to focus on for the Shabbos. I'm going to start. Bereishis, Perek Tesvav, Pasuk Aleph, in source number one. Achar hadvarim ha'ele, haya devar Hashem el Avram bat machazel lemor, al tira Avram anochi magen lach scharcha harbe meod. So after these things happened. What does it mean, these things happened? This was after the war. If we're all familiar with the story, Avraham saves Lot and he defeated the four Malachim, the four kings, the four powerful kings. So right after that, it says that Hashem spoke to Avraham in a dream saying, "Don't worry, Avraham. Al tira Avraham. Don't be nervous. Anochi magen lach. I will guard you and protect you. Scharcha harbe meod. Your schar is very great. Vayomer Avraham. Adoshem Elokim matiten li va'anochi olech ariri uven meshek besi huda meshek Eliezer. Avram says to Hashem, "What are you going to give me to give me schar? I don't have a child. I'm barren, and my steward, the person who's in charge of my house, is Eliezer. And basically, he's saying that Eliezer is going to be yoresh me, and I don't have a child. He's my inheritor. Vayomer Avram, hein li lo nasata zera v'nei ben besi yoresh osi." Avram says, "You didn't give me an offspring, and my servant Eliezer is going to be my inheritor," as I just said. So what does Hashem say to him in response? "V'nei dvar Hashem elav lemor lo yirashecha zeh." So Hashem says to Avram, "This one will not inherit your legacy. Ki im asher yetzei mimeacha hu yirashecha. That which comes from your loins, he will be your inheritor." "V'yotzei oso achutza." So Hashem, he takes him and he brings him outside in this dream, in this vision. Vayomer, and he says, "Habet na shamayma, look at all the stars, usfor akochavim, and try to count all the stars. Im tuchal ispor osam, if it's possible. Vayomer lo ko yiyazarecha." And Hashem says to him, "This is what your offspring are going to be like." Vehemin ba Hashem. And Avram believed in Hashem. Vayachshevel lo tzedaka. And he was thought of as righteousness or for righteousness. Okay? So basically, this is a little mini vision, a mini prophecy to Avram. And Hashem is reassuring Avram that he will have a child and he will have many offspring from that child. And then you have the end of the psukim. It says, "V'hamin b'Hashem v'yachshevel lo tzedakah." Okay? So what are the questions on these psukim? Does anybody have any questions on the phone line? Let's just open it up to any possible questions that anybody has. That means you, Debbie. Yeah, anybody have any questions?
Even consider, I guess this was just a little bit odd to me. I understand that he was saying he doesn't have any offspring, Avram, but why would he even say that Eliezer is his offspring? That doesn't make sense. Like that Eliezer would inherit his stuff if he doesn't. Like, why would Eliezer inherit his stuff?
Okay. Good question. Anybody else? Kind of a side question. Not really what I want to focus on, but good question nevertheless.
Sorry.
It's okay. No, that is a good question.
Tonight,
I guess not.
I think Hashem just don't have children. Why did they say it through some kind of like star reference?
Good. That's a good question. That's one of the questions I want to focus on. What is this whole idea of the stars? You know, showing him the stars, whatever he did with him in the dream. Just tell him you're going to have a lot of offspring. You know, why show him the stars? Right. So that's a good question. So Emily has a good question. We're going to focus on that. I think the last pasuk, v'hemin b'Hashem v'yachshevel lo tzedakah, what does it even mean? First of all, you know, we're talking about Avram Avinu. So it says that he believed in God. Of course, I mean, why wouldn't he believe in God? It says v'hemin b'Hashem. I mean, he's the founder of monotheism. He's the founder of Yahadus, of Judaism. So what is a pasuk referring to when it says v'hemin b'Hashem? And what's the end of the pasuk? V'yachshevel lo tzedakah. Who's that referring to? Is that referring to God? Is that referring to Avram, that it was thought of as righteousness? What does that mean? What does it even mean, the last pasuk, right? So those are two main questions. But first, there's an interesting idea on the first set of psukim, or the first pasuk. So if you look at the first pasuk again, it says, Achar advarim ha'ele ha'yod dvar Hashem el Avram b'machaz el'emor al tira Avram anochi magin loch scharcha arbe meod. So Hashem says to Avram, don't be afraid. I am going to guard you, and you have much schar. So what exactly was Avram afraid of? What was Hashem addressing in this pasuk? So there's two answers. There's a pshat answer, and then there's a nice drush answer. So if you look at number two, I think the Ramban is actually most in line with the pshat, and Rashi's more of a medrash. The Ramban says, Al tira Avram, in number two, Hayam mis yare mishne dvarim. So Avram was worried, he was scared for two reasons. Min hamalachim pen yirbutziv osam alav. One thing he was nervous about is about the kings. In other words, he had just defeated the kings, and he was worried that they were going to come back at him and go after him. Haim o ha'omdim tachtam, either them or those who stood in their place. They would try to get revenge and take out Avram. Uvimilchama yarad v'nisafe. And Avram would be involved in war, and he would be destroyed. So that was one thing he was worried about. O yomo yavo lamos below zera. And the other thing he was worried about is that he was going to die without a zera, without a child. V'eftichu ki hu yiyem magen ba'adomehem. So Hashem is making a promise. I will protect you from them. V'od, and furthermore, yeschar lechto im Hashem harbe meod. You get much, you get a lot of reward from Hashem for walking in the path. Okay, so the Ramban's really giving you a pshat. He's saying that Hashem's addressing two things that are on Avram's mind after this war. One thing is that he was nervous that after he had defeated the kings would come after him. And the other thing is that that he was nervous that he was going to die without Zerah, without offspring. That would be his yorid, that would inherit him. Okay? So I think that's the pshat. I mean, the only thing that I would add to the Ramban is, why does Hashem even have to address this? I mean, why not just let this go? I mean, if Avram just persists and nothing happens to him, won't he realize that Hashem's protecting him? So why does Hashem have to appear in a vision to tell him this? Does anybody have any ideas? I don't think it's such
a... Why is he using the vehicle of a vision?
No.
Why is he telling him anything at all?
Yeah, in other words, fine. So Avram was worried, and he was worried about his schar, and he was worried about the malachim. So let it play out. So let Avram, you know, exist, and if nothing happens to him, then fine, he'll be fine, you know? He'll figure it out. Avram will figure out that that the malachim aren't going to come after him and that he's safe. So I think the idea is that, I think it's a simple idea. You see, it must have been that these fears and these thoughts were engulfing Avram, that they were taking over. And Avram had a mission. His mission was to spread the word of God and to spread monotheism. So apparently this was impeding that, or would hinder that, these fears. So the idea of a vision of Hashem getting involved and actually, you know, appearing to him to, you know, to soften these fears is that there must have been an idea here that these fears were dangerous to the mission of Avram. So that's the only thing I would add to the Ramban. I think the Ramban is explaining the pshat of what Avram was nervous about, but I think the idea of Hashem appearing in a vision to him to take care of those fears reflects the strength of the fears, that the fears were so strong that they would that they would hinder Avram's ability to continue, you know, to continue his mission. So that's the only thing I would add to the Ramban. But this is kind of that's the first point, just the pshat. But I really wanted to take a Rashi. I really want to focus on a theme that Rashi brings up that's seen in other places in the Torah as well. If you look at number three, yeah, no problem.
Do you think that it would be surprising that Avram would have such severe fears that would be taking over his everyday existence, considering like what he's gone through?
I mean, Yaakov had the same fear. I mean, if you're in a war, and I mean, I would be nervous.
I know, but I'm talking about the second part, not the war part, the continuing of Amishal.
Why shouldn't he be afraid? I mean, he's getting old. He's getting old, and you know, he might die. I don't think it's a crazy fear to.
Okay.
All right. But look at this Rashi. This is an interesting Rashi. Achar advarim ha'ela. I think Debbie, because she said she has the sheets in front of her, is going to take this one. Okay? Number three?
Okay. Achar advarim ha'ela. Kol makom she'ne'emar. Achar samuch. Acharei muflag.
Okay, so anytime it says achar in the Torah, it means that it's right after the event before it. And anytime it says acharei, it means that it's many, you know, it's a lot of time after. It's not right after. Okay, and in our pasuk it says achar, which indicates that it was right after the war was over. And right after Avram had defeated the kings, that's when this is taking place. Okay? Go on.
Achar sh'naase lo nes, ze sh'harag et hamalachim, ve'haya do'eg, ve'omer, sh'ma kibalti shar al kol tzitzikoti.
Okay, so after this incredible nes, what was the nes? That Avram, with this small group of people, some say, the Medrash says, just Eliezer, were able to defeat these powerful kings. He says, V'hayadoi, he was nervous. V'omer, shemaki balti schar akol tzidkosi. Maybe I received all the schar, all the available reward for my righteousness. Okay.
V'chach amar lo hamakom al tira Avram anochi magen lach. Min ha'onesh shelo te'enosh.
Te'anesh.
Sorry?
Te'anesh.
Oh, te'anesh, sorry. Al kol oten nafshot she'harant u'masha ta'do'eg al kibul scharech.
Scharcha.
Scharech harbeh me'od.
Okay. I'm going to tell Mrs. Granofsky about this, Debbie. So achar shenaseh lo nes. So what's the end of it? He says lachach amar lo amakum al tira Avram anochi magen lach mina onesh shlo te'anesh al kol osan nefasho sharakta. He's also saying to Avram, don't be nervous from onesh, from punishment. You won't get punished for all the people that he killed because he was involved in war and he must have killed people. And Hashem is addressing that. He's saying anochi magen lach. I'm going to protect you from sin, from onesh. Sorry, not from sin, from punishment. You will not get punished for the nefashos that you killed. Umash ata doeg al kibo scharcha, and that which you're worried about in terms of, you know, how much reward you're getting, scharcha harbe meod. You get a lot of reward, so don't worry about it. So the Medrash, this idea the Rashi's bringing down, is addressing two concerns of Avram. You know, one concern is that my schar has been finished. It's already, shema kibalti schara kol tzidkosi. There's no more schar left for me. My schar is already diminished. And Hashem's saying to him, scharcha harbe meod, no, you still have more schar to go. And the other thing that he's nervous about is that he might get punished for killing people, for al kol osa nefasha sharakta, and Hashem's saying, no, I'm going to protect you from the punishment, so you're not going to get punished. So it's interesting. So those are the two ideas that Rashi's mentioning. One idea is that, A, that Avram was nervous that his schar had been consumed, and the second idea is that he was nervous that he would get punished for killing the nefashos. What's bothersome about those ideas? What's strange? And what questions do we have to address in explaining Rashi? I think there's two questions.
Does his schar run out?
Yeah, good. That's one question. What does it mean that, you know, he's nervous that his schar runs out? Why would he think that? Or what does that even mean? And why does he think that there is a finite amount of schar that would run out? And then what about the last part of Rashi, right? What, he didn't do anything wrong. I mean, why would he think that he would get punished? He didn't really do anything wrong. He was saving Lot from being kidnapped, and he was fighting on behalf of the people of Sodom. It wasn't just Lot. He saved many people. So what exactly was he nervous about? I mean, he did it. He did something right. He did something great, and he did the right thing. So why exactly is he worried about being punished? And if you think that this is just an isolated situation, this seems to exist in another place by Yaakov. You have a similar idea, a similar Rashi. In number 4, in Parshas Vayishlach, it says, Katonti, it's famous pasuk, Katonti mikol chasadim umikol ha'emes, asher asisa esavdecha, kivimakli avarti esayardin azev, ata yisi lishnei machanos. So he says, I'm small from all the good and the chesed, umikol ha'emes, and all the truth, asher asisa esavdecha, that you've done with your eved, your servant, kivimakli avarti esayardin azev, ata yisi lishnei machanos. What does that mean? Look at Rashi. Number 5, he says, "Katonti mikol chasadim nismatu zchiyosai al yedei chasadim v'ha'emesh asisa imi." So my merits have been diminished because of all the good that you've done with me. Lachach ani yare. Therefore, I am afraid. Shema mehishiv tachtani niskakalti b'chait. Perhaps I'll be consumed, or I'll get tricked into doing a chait. V'yigrom li lihimasar b'yad Esav, and then I'll be in the hands of Esav, and he'll kill me, he'll destroy me. So you have the same idea, similar idea by Yaakov, that he was worried that he had been rewarded enough, and that his schar had run out, And he was also worried about some type of chait that would occur after that. So why are tzaddikim worried about these two things? Why are they consumed by these two ideas? And how do these ideas make sense, really? Right? So anybody have any thoughts? Yeah.
Okay, going back to the Ramban, when he said that he was addressing the two fears of Avraham, that would be in the first pasuk if you go back to Bereshit Aleph. But then afterwards, after he addressed those fears, God, that's when Avraham first started asking and started saying what his fears were, started saying what his concerns were. In other words, if God was saying that to him and giving him already, reassurance that he wasn't going to get punished and that he would have children, why is he then questioning God in terms of not having children?
Oh, that's a good question. We're going to take that up. That's the last pasuk. So that's actually the end of the shir that we're going to take up that point. You mean God already promised him a child, right?
Right, in that first pasuk.
Yeah.
Not so, according to the pshat.
Yeah. Oh. You mean?
And it's interesting that Avram's bringing it up only after God says that. Like the Chumash doesn't tell us that he went to God and said, I have these fears and I'm worried about this.
Right.
It was God who came to him, and then he started opening up. But
right. Yeah. No. I mean, we're going to take up the question of that this was already mentioned to Avram before. So what exactly is changing? Right. That's your question. Am I missing it? Sorry.
We mentioned to him earlier that he's going to have children.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, but I'm also saying that since the Ramban said that God, in the Pasuk Aleph, was already reassuring him that he was going to have children and he was, going to be protected, from any enemies he thought would rise up against him, why didn't he just accept that and say, okay, instead of then asking, but I'm not going to have children?
Oh, that's a good question. That's we're going to take that off. We're going to take that off. So put that on hold, but yeah, that's a good question.
Okay.
But back to the Rashi. The Rashi's saying, I think Rashi's saying like an idea in Tzaddikim, how they relate to Schar Va'Onesh. But does anybody have any possibilities on the Rashi dish? That those two questions, the other questions, that on the one hand, it seems like both Avram and Yaakov were nervous that their Schar was used up, and also they were worried about the Onesh. So why are they worried about these things? Why was Avram worried about Onesh? It didn't seem like he did anything wrong. So what is he nervous about? And also, what does it mean that your schar is used up?
Well, you could see
it's like a humble.
Oh. Go ahead.
Just like a humbleness that they have, like a,
okay.
Not thinking that they've reached this point that they can't do no wrong.
Okay. I agree with that.
They constantly have Yirat Hashem.
Okay. So they're just, you're saying they're just always unsure of their...
Yeah, but they had special protection. They weren't under the assumption that just because they're tzaddikim or whatever, that God is always with them, there's always hashgacha.
But he's not, see, the thing is that, what's interesting about that is that Avram's not saying, I don't deserve schar. He's just saying, maybe my schar's run out. He's not saying, I didn't deserve it. He's just saying that maybe my schar's been used up. I think those are two different ideas. I mean, yeah, the truth is a tzaddik never feels like they're entitled to anything. But I think there's an idea here that then there's two ideas here. So let me just put it out there. So one idea I think is in terms of schar. So schar ba'onesh isn't just it's a rational system of justice that when a person does something, then they get rewarded in a certain way. And there seems to be a system to it, like a mida keneged mida type system. For example, and we see that, I mean, it's like a regular, a person works and then they get paid based on what they work for, how they work and what their job is. So the idea is that if you saw something so outlandish, let's say you saw a janitor make, $200,000 for cleaning up the bathroom. So if you saw that, so you would say that that's not schar anymore. Like there's something that's the schar. Schar means that it's commensurate. It seems to be rational, and it seems to be that it has to be commensurate with the person's actions. But once you reach a certain point, now it's not a schar. Now it's like a matana. Now it's just a gift. It's just chesed Hashem. It's just God doing the good. So the thing is with Avram, after he witnessed a certain amount of nisim, especially with this the situation of the Malachim, it seems like from a rational standpoint, he couldn't fit it into schar anymore. It seemed like it exceeded the idea of schar because We know by Avram. Where do we see that Avram thinks of Schar Va'onesh in a purely rational, just way? You see this by Stom, by the destruction of Stom. So you see Avram's trying to figure out how it makes sense that Hashem could destroy Sodom, and he's constantly working out all the arguments for Sodom. But part of the idea there is that he's trying to understand how it fits into a rational framework of justice. But it has to fit into a rational framework. If it doesn't, then it's not really Schar Va'onesh. Schar Va'onesh has to reflect justice. So the idea is that after, when a person witnesses an incredible amount of miracles, like Avram had witnessed, so there's a certain point where it doesn't fit into the person's thinking of that this could be Schar anymore. It must be that this is another expression of God. It must be that it's chesed, because it's not commensurate with what the person is or what the person's actions are. So the idea is that I think that's an idea in tzaddikim, that tzaddikim try to figure out, they spend their lives trying to figure out how Schar Va'onesh works and trying to understand justice of Hashem. But when they see that something doesn't seem to fit into that system of justice, then they get nervous. And you see by Avram that he was nervous. The idea of his schar running out is that there was a part of Avram that thought or that believed that at a certain point it made sense to him that he was deserving of certain things, but anything beyond that he recognized wasn't schar anymore. But apparently he was wrong. That's what Hashem's telling him. No, his schar chahar be'meod. So I think that's one idea. That's one idea that Avram was concerned about, and you see Yaakov was also concerned about. But then there's also a second idea about Onesh. And I think there's another idea here also by a tzaddik that's unique to a tzaddik. You see, by a tzaddik isn't only manish, he's not punished simply for the actions that he does, but he's also punished because of the effect that he has on others. And a tzaddik is typically associated with God. When a person sees a tzaddik, they say he's a reflection of God. He's a company man. Like, I work for a company right now. So when people see me, I don't just represent myself, but I reflect on the company as well. So it's the same thing with a tzaddik. So the idea that the tzaddik's worried about Onesh, even in a situation where they might not have done a particular wrong, is that a tzaddik recognizes that he could have a greater potential to create a chilul Hashem because he's associated with God. And especially in this situation, by killing people, even if he was justified in killing people, nevertheless, like killing and murder has a negative association. So I think there's two ideas being expressed by Rashi that we can answer the Rashi with. One is the idea that a tzaddik, he recognizes that Schar Va'onesh isn't just haphazard, but it fits into a logical system of what the person deserves. And just like Onesh is Mida K'neged Mida, Schar is Mida K'neged Mida. But a tzaddik recognizes, like Avram, there's a certain point where it doesn't seem to fit into that framework. So at that point, that's the point where Avram was at after the wars. He just couldn't understand how this would fit into a framework of Schar Va'onesh, how man could be deserving of such incredible reward. It's like a janitor receiving $200,000 for cleaning a bathroom. It's not schar. That's not schar va'onesh. That's not mida k'neged mida. That's simply just a matana. But so that's one idea. And the other idea is that Avram was nervous about the effect that he would have on others. And even though he didn't do anything wrong by killing people, by killing the nefashos in the war, but still, a tzaddik has to be concerned about the effect, the potential for chilul Hashem that he creates because of his association with God. So I think Rashi's highlighting, you know, those two points. Does anybody have a question on that, or a different idea, or agree or disagree? Anybody? Debbie? All right. Hello? Hello? Am I still connected?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. Yes. It's, it was just so silent on the phone line. I was like, well, I'm in my room right now. I'm in my sunroom, and I sounded like I was talking to myself there. All right. So good.
We're here.
All right. Thank you. it was like a tumbleweed was crossing through my sunroom. All right. So I think that's one idea. So that's one idea that I wanted to highlight in the share. So that's point number one. I told you there's three ideas. So that's point number one. The second idea is really taking up Emily's question, which was in this nevuah. So Avram, he says, I don't have a child, and how am I going to get rewarded? So Hashem, he takes him outside and he shows him the kochavim. It's kind of a strange thing. I mean, just tell Avram, you're gonna have many children. You're gonna have a lot of offspring. I mean, he's a very smart individual. I think he could comprehend that. So what exactly is added by that point? So Rashi mentions three points or three ideas in the Kochavim. So we're going to take those up. If you look at Rashi number 6 on that Pasuk, I think, Emily, do you have the sheets? Emily?
No, thanks. This is
going to
be very not proud.
All right. Vayotzeo sa'achutza. Okay. Lefi pshuto hotzio me'o'alo lechutz liros ha'kochavim. So what's the pshat? The pshat is that Hashem took Avram outside of his tent and he showed him the kochavim, literally. Which still needs to be explained. Lefi medrasho amar lo tzei mi'itzdagnina shelcha. So get out of the astrology or the shera isa b'mazalos that you saw in the mazalos, the constellations. She'incha asid l'hamid ben. The constellations would determine that Avram wouldn't have a ben. So Avram ain lo ben, aval Avraham yesh lo ben. So Hashem says to Avram, yeah, the stars say that you're not going to have a son, but Avraham, once he changes his name, all of a sudden he's going to have a ben. V'chein Sarai lo seled, aval Sarah seled or teled. So Sarai is not going to have a child, but Sarah will. Ani kore l'cham shem acher v'ishtana hamazal. I'm going to call you a different name, and all of a sudden your luck is going to change. Your predestined future and fate is going to change. Strange, okay. Davar acher, and there's one other shita. Davar acher hotzio mechalalo shel olam v'higbiu lamala min hakochavim. What did Hashem do? He took him and he brought him above all the stars. V'zehu lashon habata milamala lamata. Habata means to look from the top down. Because you have three different pshatim or three different ideas. They're not really pshatim. One's pshat and the other two are midrashim as to what occurred. One idea is that, or one possibility is that Avram was taken outside and he actually was showed the Kochavim by God. The second is that Avram was told that his fate wasn't predestined to not have a child, but once he changed his name to Avram, then he wouldn't fit underneath the normal, you know, constellations and his normal fate. And then the last idea is that Avram had to be taken above the stars instead of, and that's the idea, that Hashem, he somehow miraculously took Avram above the stars to show him the stars from above instead of from the ground. So what is the... So we have three different points. So let's focus on each one. So the first idea, right? Which is the basic question, Emily's question. You're taking Avram and you're taking and you have to take him outside to show him the Kochavim. Why do you have to show him the Kochavim? What benefit do you get by showing Avram the Kochavim? And just in the pshat, what's the advantage of that? And what new idea can Avram gain about his offspring from that? Whoa.
Go,
Em. You go, Emily.
Fine. Just showing Hashem's greatest, that the skies and the stars are so amazing, so obviously anything could happen. Just because he doesn't have kids yet doesn't mean that that's the final ending of his life or something.
Okay. I like it. I like one of the points that you made. It's good points.
Thanks.
Nicole, you had an idea? Different.
Just the actual visual of the number of stars.
Okay. Why does he need a visual? What's the
will be coming his way?
What's the idea of the visual?
What he's going to build.
Okay. All right. So I like both. Yeah.
No, what I was going to say is that maybe because Abraham was questioning. Maybe it's to show us that if we ever have questions or go through a time where we're doubting Hashem's involvement in our life, if we just look at nature and we look at the expanse of the universe, you have to see Hashem's hand in that. It's so miraculous that maybe that was the point, that if you just look at nature and look at the way Hashem created the world, how could you doubt Hashem, maybe?
Okay. All right. I want to take points from what everybody's saying. It's just like, yeah. I mean, I think that's a little too far off the shot. I think there's a simple explanation, but I think it takes points from what everybody's saying. So I think the explanation is that, see, the stars, they're numerous, right? But when you go outside and you look at the stars, they have a certain impact on you. So the idea that he's expressing to Avram is that Klal Yisrael will be numerous, like the stars. There will be many people, but it's not just that there will be many, but they'll have a certain impact. They'll have a certain power. Now, what is the power of the stars? What is the greatness of the stars? The greatness of the stars, I think, and it's many Gemaras mention this, and many Rishonim, is that the stars are the highest level of Chachmas Hashem. They're the highest level, the greatest reflection of God's wisdom when you look at the stars. You see, like, physicists, the most abstract knowledge of physics is associated with the stars and the universe. So the idea is that how is Klal Yisrael going to have that impact? By reflecting Chachmas Hashem. So he's trying to show Avram an idea. He's showing Avram that it's not just that Klal Yisrael are going to be numerous, because then he could just tell him, oh, they're going to be 600,000 people or a million people. No, it's not it's not just number. You can have many things and many animals, but it doesn't mean that they have that there's any quality to them, that they have a certain impact. The idea of the stars is that not only will Klal Yisrael have a certain number, but they'll have a certain impact on the world. And the way that Klal Yisrael impact the world is in reflecting Chachmas Hashem and reflecting God's wisdom. So that's why the stars are used, because the stars are the highest example or the highest point of and the most recognizable point of Chachmas Hashem. So I think that's the pshat. So I think I took points from what everybody was saying and I just plugged it in. But I think that's just the basic pshat of what was going on here. Okay? But then we move on. We move on to the more midrash, the more medrash ideas. You have this idea that somehow Avram's fate was determined if his name was Avram. But then when you change his name to Avram or Sarai to Sarah, that all of a sudden the fate is changed. And that's expressed through the stars. So what is that? Let's take up that point. What does Rashi mean by that? Anybody? What was the change? What did the change of... Was it just... Yeah. Sorry.
From going from growing up with, you know, idolatry to monotheism.
Okay, good. All right.
Just a reflection of who he's become, so well, to say.
Okay, good. So you're saying good idea. You're saying the change of name, when a person's name changes by Avram to Avram, it's not just that you're changing name from like Joe to, you know, Tim. It's not just a name change in that sense, but it's that Avram was assuming a new role, a new identity. So the idea is Rashi and Sarah too. That's Sarah. Like, if you look at the pesukim, look at number 7. V'lo yikare oda shimcha Avram, v'haya shimcha Avram, ki av hamon goyim nesaticha. Now Avram was the father of all these great nations. And Sarai also, if you look at number 8 in Rashi, says, demashma Sarai li v'lo la'achirin, ki Sarah stam shma shetehe Sarah ala kol. So Rashi, I think he's pointing out that an interesting idea that was expressed to Avram in this nevuah. That Avram, there was a natural existence to what would happen to Avram if he was just under a mazel, which means under natural law. Then you're right; he wouldn't have a bane. Why? Because Avram was very old, Sarah was very old. But once their names changed, once they assumed a different identity, an identity of leaders of Amim, of Klal Yisrael also. So now a new type of destiny awaited them, a new type of hashgacha. So the idea of the Medrash is trying to show Avram that idea, that concept, that Avram, yeah, right now, if he looks at it from a rational standpoint and simply purely an idea in nature, yeah, he won't have a bane. But the idea is that once he changes his name, the idea of changing name, meaning once he assumes a new role and a new identity, now all bets are off. And now there's a new fate. There's a fate that's destined for him as the leader of nations, not as an individual. And that's the change of name from Avram to Avraham. That Avram was an individual, was a yachid, and Avram was now had a different role in the world. He had a role in terms of vis-a-vis the universe. And now there's a different hashgacha that relates to him. So I think that's the second idea. And then we have one last idea, and then we'll just summarize Rashi. One last idea is that Avram was taken above the kochavim. So why? You know, why was he taken above the kochavim? Why is that significant? You know, just let him see the kochavim from the ground. You know, why, what's that idea? Last idea. Somebody help me with this. Chime in.
Just seeing them from a perspective that no one else sees them from. So similarly, he thought he wouldn't have kids because he was looking on it based on like the way most humans think about how and when they could have children. But there's always maybe another possibility out there or something.
So then why just show him the kochavim? Just have him like in the planetarium. You're sitting there. Okay, fine. He's like the father. Okay, so he shouldn't...
He's on top of the children, so to say.
Okay, that's good. All right, so, yeah, I think that's a good idea. I think that's a good point. So what you're saying is that really Avram, It shouldn't be that the idea of Klal Yisrael is distant to him, right? If when you look at the stars from the ground, it's very far away, and it doesn't relate to you. It's almost like, yeah, you can learn it, you can study it, it's chachma, but you can't see how it really. It's hard to relate it to yourself. But the idea is that apparently Hashem wanted Avram to relate to his future in a real way. He wanted it to be a reality to him. So it wasn't enough to see it from the ground, because if you see it from the ground, then it's distant, it's far away. But when you see it from above, and you're right there, then it's really attached to you. It's really an extension of you, and it's really something that you can relate to as a reality. And I think that's the idea, one of the ideas in this Nevuah, that Avram had to relate to his future as a reality. He couldn't think of it as something far off, as something, you know, that what didn't relate to him personally. He had to make decisions based on this reality, on the reality that he was going to, you know, he was going to be the father of this multitude. So I think that's the idea. So we have three ideas here in Rashi. This is the second point of the shir. So point number two. So the first point was the idea of how a tzaddik relates to Tzchar V'Onesh, and the uniqueness of a tzaddik in terms of that. And then the second point is the idea of the kochavim, which is the idea, there's three ideas. One idea, as we said, is that Avram had to actually recognize that Klal Yisrael wouldn't just be numbers, but it would be their impact, and their impact is measured as a reflection of or through them being a reflection of Chachmas Hashem, like the stars. And then you have this idea that Avram had to recognize that once he assumed a certain role as a father of nations, now his destiny and his fate would change. He no longer was a yachid, an individual. And then the last idea is making Klal Yisrael reality to Avram. That he can't just stand there from the ground and look from afar, but he actually has to be a reality. It has to be something that he can see as an extension of him. So those are the three ideas in Rashi, okay? So now, just forget about that idea completely. We'll go to the third idea in the shir. And I'm sorry that it's so disjointed, but these are the ideas that come out of the psukim. So we have idea number one, we have idea number two as related to the kochavim. And now just forget about those ideas, and we'll take up the last part of the pasuk, which is the title of the shir, Avram and Faith. It says, V'amin ba'Hashem v'yachshevelo tzedakah. So Hashem tells Avram, I'm going to protect you, you're going to have a child, you're going to have many children, they're going to have an impact on the world, all those ideas that we said. And then all of a sudden at the end it says, V'amin ba'Hashem, that Avram believed in Hashem v'yachshevelo tzedakah, and he was thought of for righteousness. It's a strange pasuk. So this is, if we look at, we're going to take up Rashi first. Okay, what does it mean that Avram believed in Hashem? In number 9, Rashi, Breishis, Perek Tes Vav, number 9, Vav. V'hamin ba'Hashem, lo sha'alo os al zos. So what does it mean that Avram believed in Hashem? He didn't ask for a sign on this. He didn't want Hashem to provide him with some type of sign that he would have a child. Aval al Yerusha sa'aret sha'alo os. V'amar lo b'ma edah. But with regard to Klal Yisrael and Avram inheriting the land of Eretz Yisrael, he does ask for a sign. Okay, and then it says, "Vayachshevel lo tzedakah, Hakadosh Baruch Hu chashva lo Avram l'schus l'tzedakah al ha'emuna shehemin bo." Apparently, this was a very big milah. It was a very big. That Avram was able to believe in this. And it says at the end that Hashem it reflected on Avram's righteousness that he was able to believe in this. Okay. Okay, so now we have to address this Rashi, but let's look at the Ramban, because the Ramban in number 12, he asks a good question on Rashi, so we have to defend Rashi against the Ramban, because we know that Rashi's a good thinker, and he probably had an idea in mind. So let's look at the Ramban in number 12. He says, V'amin ba'Hashem v'yachshevel lo tzedakah. It says, Perish Rashi, HaKadosh Baruch Hu hu chishav lo tzedakah uschus al ha'emuna shehemin bo. So Hashem, he thought that this was meritorious of Avram, that he believed in this. Then he says, "Ve'eni mevin maz chus azos." I don't understand what is this chus, what is this merit. Lama lo yamin belokei amen. V'hu anavi ba'atmo. Why would he not believe in God? He himself is the Navi. V'lo ish kel v'chazev. Right. So he's the Navi. He's had nevuah from God. Well, he's not going to believe in God if God tells him something. Umishahem in Lishchodes Beno Hayachid Ha'ahuv Ushar Nisyonos Echlo Yamin Bevesura Tova. He who's able to go through Akedas Yitzchak and go through all the Nisyonos that Hashem puts him through, what? He's not going to believe in the good news? He's not going to believe God when God tells him good news. So that's the question on Rashi. It's a great question. You know, what does Rashi mean that Avram believed? And also you have a question on Rashi. What's the difference between, you know, his son, where it says that he did believe, and apparently he wasn't criticized by the, but he does ask for an oath by Eretz Yisrael. So what exactly does Rashi mean? How would he defend himself against this criticism of the Ramban? So this is the one of the key points in the shir. So what is, we have to take up what's an oath? What's the idea of an oath? Where else do we see an oath in the Torah? We see an oath by the Keshes, by the rainbow, after the Mabul. So we see Hashem provides man with an oath. Or we see that a famous example is by Moshe Rabbeinu. We see by Moshe Rabbeinu, it says, look at number 11. I just put in all these psukim. We don't have to go through all of them, but I think we're all familiar. Vayan Moshe Vayomer, Vahein lo yaminu li. They won't believe me. Velo yishmu bekoli, kiyomru lo niroi lecha Hashem. They're going to say, oh, Hashem didn't appear to you. Vayomer ilav Hashem, mazeh biyadecha, vayomer matah, vayomer shlichei oratza, vayishlichei oratza, vayin lanachash, vayanas Moshe b'panav. And then it goes through all of them, but it calls it an os. If you look at, what is it called, an os? It says, oh, in ches. Vayah im lo yaminu lecha, velo yishmu lekol ha'os harishon, ve'aminu lekol ha'os acharon. So what is the idea of an os there? Or what's an idea of an os in the Torah? To explain Rashi. So what's the idea of an os? I think the idea of an os, unless somebody wants to cut me off. If I'm speaking and you have an idea, just cut me off. So what's the idea of an os? The idea of an os is, of a sign, is that God can tell you something, right? Hashem can tell you that the Mabul is never going to happen. But sometimes you need something something in reality to attach your emotions to and attach your psyche to. You know, after the flood was over, we talked about it last week, about Noach, that he was still struggling with the idea of the flood. And if you go through Migdal Bavel, you also see an idea there that it stemmed from a certain fear about, you know, being flooded again. There's a natural emotion that emerges after a flood occurs that you're going to be scared, that you're going to be destroyed again. So, yeah, it's true. Hashem tells you, listen, it's not going to happen again. But fine, you can understand that. You can believe in that rationally. And you could say, God's saying this, so it's not going to happen. But you might need something emotionally to draw, you know, to take your emotions out of that fear and draw them into the right idea. So the idea of an os is not an idea of, and the idea of emunah is not an idea in not knowing whether something's true. A person can know something's true, but emotionally, if or psychologically, if they've been scarred by something, it's virtually impossible for them to attach their emotions to it. For example, by Moshe Rabbeinu. So Moshe Rabbeinu is going to Klal Yisrael, and they're, you know, and they've been slaves, and they're so accustomed to being slaves. They've been slaves for many generations, and this guy is, you know, basically telling them that they're going to get out of their, you know, their slave mentality. I mean, their emotions were clearly drawn away from that. So Moshe is saying, listen, they might believe my message, but they're not going to emotionally be able to grasp it. So an os, a sign, is something that that takes the emotions and allows the emotions to grasp what Hashem is saying or what the message is, like by the Keshes or by Moshe Rabbeinu. So here too, by Avram, what was the perfection of Avram? Apparently, by Yerushas Aretz, he needed an os. Emotionally, there was a part of him that either was resistant to it or couldn't grasp the idea of Yerushas Aretz. But by here, by this situation, even though he had lived many years without a child and he was getting older and he was struggling with the idea that he might die without a child, he was able to completely take his emotions and take his psyche and attach it to this idea without any other help. So that was the perfection of Avram. That's Avram and his faith. The idea of faith is that v'hamin ba'Hashem is not that he, of course he believed in God, but the idea is that he was able to take this message, this haftacha, and not only know that it was true, that it would happen, but he was able to grasp it emotionally and actually and psychologically without the help of anything else. So that's the idea of Rashi. So Rashi's gonna shut down the Ramban and say, listen, it's not that Avram didn't believe in God. The Ramban's not learning Rashi right. It's not that Avram didn't believe in God. It's that he didn't need anything extrinsic to attach his emotions to in order to grasp the message, in order to believe in the message, to take the message to heart. That's the Chiddush of Rashi, and it's a beautiful idea. And that's the idea of Emunah in general. The idea of Emunah is not an idea of blind faith, but it's an idea that even when a person knows something's true, you might need something extra to grab your emotions, to grasp, to take your emotions and bring them in line with that idea. And that's the perfection of Avram here, that he didn't need that. But by Yerushas Haaretz, he did. And he's not, you know what, he's not criticized for that. Yeah, it's not, he didn't have that perfection, and there would be nothing wrong if Avram would have asked for an Osir, but apparently it's a reflection of his level that he was able to do that. He was simply able to use his mind and what Hashem told him and redirect all his emotions to grasp that idea. So that's really Rashi, what Rashi's saying. Okay, anybody have questions? Any ideas, thoughts, issues? Make sense? Still following, hopefully. All right, the last point in the shir is this. There's a beautiful idea in the Ramban. It's just incredible. If you look at the Ramban, he says, "V'hanachon be'enai ki yomar shehemin." So the Ramban doesn't like Rashi. He gives his own shot. "V'hanachon be'enai ki yomar shehemin b'Hashem v'chishav ki betzidko shal kadosh baruch hu yitain lo zera al kol panim." What does it mean that he believed in Hashem? He believed that Hashem would give him a zera, an offspring, no matter what. "Lo betzidkas Avram uvischaro." Not because of Avram's righteousness or because of schar. Afal pi she'amar lo scharcha harbe meod. Even though Hashem told him your schar is very great, the bestowment of Yitzchak on Avram had nothing to do with his schar. Ume'ata, and from this point, lo yira pen yigro machet. Avram didn't have to worry that if he did a chet, that he wouldn't get this child, he wouldn't get Yitzchak. The afal pi she'benevua harishona chishev or chashav shetia al tanai kefich schar masav. So the first nevua where Avram's told that he will have a son, he believed was dependent on his own level, on his schar. Ata now kevan sheftichu shelo yira min achet v'yiten lo zera. Now that God's promising him that he shouldn't be afraid of chet, and Hashem's going to give him zera, hemin ki nachon adavar mi'im halokim. Now he knew that it would definitely happen. Emes lo yashav mimena. It's truth that God will never come back from. Ki tzidkas Hashem hi ve'ein lo hefzik. It's tzidkas Hashem. It's Hashem's righteousness, and there is no end to it. There's no stopping it. Ke'inin shekasav b'nishbati yetzei mipitztaka davar v'lo yashuv. Hashem's not going to go back on it. Okay, and then there's this last point. Oh, yomar ki Avram hemin shielo zera yoresh al kolponim. So it's a similar idea. He's saying Avram believed that he would have a zera no matter what. V'akadosh baruch hu od chishev lo haftacha zu shevtichu tzedaka. Kibet tzidkas Hashem yasaken. It's a reflection of tzidkas Hashem. Kimo elokim chash v'letova v'chein v'tachshav lo letzaka depincha shechashav lo avtachas azusha patach b'shem masa hu letzaka l'dor v'ador. I'm going to finish this. Ki lo olam yishmor lo akel b'avura tzidkas v'chasto k'darach lo olam eshmor lo chasti. So what exactly is Ramban saying? He's saying such a beautiful idea. See, what changed from the... He's saying that Avram really was told beforehand that he would have a child. And this is the second time that Avram's told. And apparently he's saying the pshat is that what changed, Avram was told now that he would have a child no matter what. No matter what he did, if he did avodah zarah, if he killed other people, for no matter what, he would have a child. So why is that? What is that idea? What changed? So I think it's the Ramban saying that there's an expression of God's will, and just simply to express the midas HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And what's the midah that God's trying to express? Tzidkas Hashem. So the idea that Ramban's saying is that Yitzchak, the bestowment of Yitzchak and Avram, existed in two frameworks. In one framework, it was personal. It was a schar for Avram, for what he had done. But in another framework, it was merely God expressing a midah, expressing a characteristic of his righteousness, of tzidkas. When God expresses a characteristic to the world, for the world to learn from it, it doesn't have anything to do with man's... It's not dependent on man's actions. If Hashem wants to express... Wants to express the nisim of Mitzrayim. It's not dependent on man's actions. The idea of the nisim is that God's trying to express his midos, his gibor, his gvura, his might, his strength, his omniscience. When God tries to express something, or when he attempts to express something, simply as a means to learn from, so it has nothing to do with man's own what he deserves. So the idea that this is expressing this nevuah is that Yitzchak existed in two frameworks. The nes of Yitzchak was a personal schar to Avram. That was the first nevuah. But the Ramban's saying that the nes of Yitzchak was simply existed to express a characteristic of God, that God is of tzidkas Hashem, of God's righteousness. So the idea that Avram took, that he believed in, what does it mean, v'hamin b'Hashem? It means that he recognized that point. He recognized that Yitzchak would exist no matter what, because Yitzchak was not tied necessarily to Avram, but he was tied to expressing God's perfection, God's tzidkas. And that had nothing to do with Avram. So no matter what, Avram would have a child. Even if he sinned, the niece of Yitzchak would exist and would occur simply and merely as a means to learn about God and learn about his characteristics, his midos. Okay, so that's really the idea that Ramban's expressing, which I think is a beautiful idea. So that's really the share, and so we have 3 points. I'm just going to go through the points. One point was the way, you know, a tzaddik reflects on Schar Va'onesh, that a tzaddik's unique in the sense that he understands Schar Va'onesh to be in a just framework, and Onesh, he can create a Chil Hashem that a regular person can't. So that's the uniqueness of a tzaddik. And then we talked about the Kochavim, the idea of the Kochavim, that you have different ideas expressed there, that that Avram had to he had to recognize the impact of Klal Yisrael, that it wasn't just numbers, or that his fate would change once he assumed a new role. And the last idea, which is that Avram had to, he had to make it a reality. And then we have this last idea in the Chumash, which is the idea of the Amunah of Avram. So there's two concepts here. One concept is that Avram was a Mamin. It means that he didn't need anything extra to attach his emotions to, but he merely could do it through just simply the Nevuah alone. And the Nevuah alone was enough for him to attach his emotions to. And then there's this idea in the Ramban that Avram believed that he would have a child no matter what. Why? Because he recognized that Yitzchak, the existence of Yitzchak, wasn't based on personal reward, but it was based on God's will to express a characteristic of his. And when God expresses a characteristic of his, it's simply for the world to learn from it. Not as Schar Va'onesh, but as a means that the world can grasp the perfection of God. So that was the idea of the Ramban. So those are all the ideas in this year. I know it's a lot of ideas, and I try to split them up into 3 separate points. But that's really the whole, you know, the whole, this whole nevuah, this whole machazah. Anybody have any questions?
Yeah. Anyway,
yeah. What?
Abraham know this? In other words, how did he? Does the system show us how, what was different the second time that made Avraham realize that it was, you know, God expressing one of his midos as opposed to Schar Va'onesh?
That's a good question. I mean, it doesn't say openly in the Psukim where it says that, but I mean, the Psukim are telling you that. V'hemin b'Hashem ma'achshav elu tzedakah. So I don't, I don't know. I mean, he must have known that there was a difference between this Nevuah and the first Nevuah that he got. And I don't know how he figured it out, but the Ramban's, but it's a good question.
Didn't know that the first
So, yeah.
And that's what the fears stem from. The fears, he had the fears the second time.
Yeah.
But then once God said something, you know, said to him, you know, whatever, that's in the first prophet, that's when he realized that you know what I mean?
Exactly, yeah.
Because he still did start out with those fears, am I going to have a child? And, you know, he had that insecurity.
Yes.
And I guess once God said something to him, you know, Al-Tira, that's when he kind of realized and put it into that perspective.
Yeah, yes. That's, yeah, definitely. Also, this also the idea is also that the Ramban says that that Avram had reached a new level of Nevuah, a new level of knowledge of God, because he says that in the first, I didn't bring this in, but in the first pasuk it says that the Nevuah occurred, I think, during the day. Or the Ramban says that the Nevuah occurred during the day, and it was the first time that Avram ever received a Nevuah during the day, and that's a higher level of Nevuah. So apparently Avram also, just to answer your question, Avram apparently had attained a higher level of knowledge of God. He was able to perceive things on a higher level. So maybe that's also an indicator that he was able to figure out what was going on, you know, on a deeper level.
Right, and that's why it couldn't be told to him that way the first time. Maybe he hadn't reached that level of understanding yet.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. So if you look at the first Ramban on the, I don't have it in front of me, but if you look at the first Ramban on that pasuk, he says that idea, but that's, yeah. So only once he was able to, you know, reach this higher level of Nevuah and attain, you know, these ideas, you know, would it be would he be capable of understanding this idea? So, yeah.
Uh-huh.
All right.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Okay. Good question. Thank you. Anybody else? Questions or points? All right. So, everybody, have a good Shabbos and next week, okay?
Thank you.
All right. Have a good Shabbos.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Have a good
day. You too.